time in the Word, as we continue our sermon series called Rest, I want to encourage you to grab a Bible and open it to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And I also just want to be a little bit bold this morning and invite you, if you have your phone and you use your phone as your Bible, that you would put it in airplane mode or something so that you aren't being distracted by football scores or text messages or Facebook notifications, that you would be able to put your full attention here on God's Word during this time. Because we believe that God shows up in powerful ways when we corporately come together and focus on His Word. So I just invite you to do that. I'm not going to come around and check everybody's phones, don't worry. But somebody's looking over your shoulder. And I'll just leave that between you and the Lord. So we have been in this long sermon series on rest, and I hope the hope of this series is that we will become a congregation more and more that experiences the true soul rest that God has to offer for us in Jesus Christ in our everyday lives, no matter what the circumstances, and that the fruit of that in our lives will not just be peace and it won't just be restfulness. But it will, also our prayer has been that restfulness that Christ gives to us will produce in us readiness to do whatever it is that the Lord asks us to do. Okay, I really want you to catch this because this is one of the main reasons that we've been preaching on rest. True restfulness in Christ produces true readiness to do the work and participate in the work that God is doing for the redeeming transformation of our city and world. And if we're going to be a church, a congregation that truly does do what the purpose statement says on the front of our bulletin, if we're going to engage together in Christ's work of making disciples for the redeeming transformation of our city and world, then our readiness is absolutely critical. And so with all that, I hope you understand why we're spending so much time on rest. My sense of us as a congregation has been that we're so busy in our act, in our mindset even, that we don't have time to really be a part of what God's doing. And we have to change that. And so true rest produces true readiness. And so getting what the Bible says about rest and living into it is absolutely critical for us to be the kind of church that God is calling us to be. So as we approach today's passage that comes in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' most famous sermon, a passage that I think many of you know well already, I'm praying that we will truly hear and do what the Lord says to us today. So let's look at the scripture together. And I want you to listen to God's holy and awesome word. Therefore, I tell you, Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your awesome grace and your love and your mercy that draws us to you. I pray that you would make that love and grace and mercy known even now, especially now. And that by your Spirit, you would open our hearts to receive your word that you have given to us today. That we would hear what you would speak in this passage that for many of us may be familiar already. Come, Holy Spirit, awaken us. Spring up, O well, of living water within us. that we would not just learn some new stuff today, but that we would experience redeeming transformation, your redeeming transformation, all for your glory, for your kingdom to come, for your will to be done here as it is in heaven. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, amen. Well, as many of you probably experienced, or many of you may have experienced on the way here today, today is the Two Cities Marathon. Did anybody have to like drive to the mountains and then come down to the 180 to get to church today? Some of you were not even able to, some people weren't able to really get out of their houses today. I had somebody already call me and say, can't get here. And of course, that means that some people in our congregation woke up this morning and decided to run 26.2 miles. And whenever I think about that happening, it raises a question in me. And the question is, why? Right? Like, what are you running for? What are you running for? And of course, for some, they've had a lifelong goal of running a marathon, and so they're going for it. And for others, they've run many marathons, and so today their goal, they're running to try to get their best time ever. Others maybe are probably just running as a little warm-up for the ultra marathon they're going to do later in the day or something crazy, you know? But the fact of the matter is that, you know, I'm assuming it's a fact. Most of us are not runners or running marathons, I should say. And some of us don't run at all unless, you know, something big and scary is chasing after us. We might run. But I would argue that even if we're not literal runners, that all of us are running from or running for something. That every single person here is going after something in life. You're running for something, or you're running away from something. And that's what you're thinking about. That's what's motivating you. That's what's driving you. The question is for today, what is it that you're running for? And that's what I think Jesus calls out in these verses in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus starts in verse 25 by saying, therefore I tell you, that's always a sign, right? The word therefore, that he's connecting, or whoever the author is connecting with something that comes before. And what comes before, if you look back in your verses, is this little section that Jesus has about treasure in heaven, storing your treasure in heaven. He's talking about the focus of a person's attention. By verse 24, he says, you cannot serve both God and money. And so verse 25, when it says, therefore, I tell you, it means he's continuing to build on that theme. And the reason he's building on that theme is because Jesus knows something about the heart of humanity. Jesus knows that we are overly obsessed with the acquisition of physical things. And that was evident in the first century, and it's certainly evident today. We are consumers, aren't we? We are collectors. We are hoarders. We are overly obsessed with the acquisition of physical things, and therefore we worry about them. We run for them. We put ourselves through anxious toil for them. We base our goodness or our well-being on them. We get caught up, therefore, in an endless cycle of anxiety in the futile pursuit of security in physical things that can never give us security. But with Jesus, there's something better. Jesus has something better. Look at verse 25. It says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. He says, do not worry, actually two more times, a total of three times in that section in these nine verses. Verse 31, do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Then again in verse 34, therefore, he says, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that true? Jesus doesn't want us to worry, church. He doesn't want us to worry about these things in our lives. He doesn't want us to be anxious about them. He doesn't want us to be constantly thinking about them or perseverating about them, going round and round. And on the one hand, these words are a command of Jesus. This is serious. He says in the imperative voice, in the command voice, do not worry. And so when it comes to the end of Matthew's gospel and the Great Commission, when Jesus sends all his disciples out And he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Part of everything I have commanded you is do not worry. It's repeated three times. So when we choose to worry about these things in our lives, we are being disobedient to Jesus and we're leading others to do the same. This is a command of Jesus. Do not worry about these things. But here's the thing that I appreciate about this passage. It is definitely a command, but it also, I think, is a great encouragement. Because on one hand, Jesus is saying, do not worry. But on the other hand, he's saying, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. He's giving us a word of encouragement. And we see that in the words that follow in Jesus' rhetorical questions and the examples that follow. Look at the end of verse 25. Jesus asks his first question. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? And what's the answer? Yes! Yes! Life is more important than food and the body is more important than clothes. Look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air, Jesus says. They don't sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And what's the answer to that one? Yes! You are more valuable to your heavenly Father than the birds of the air. Verse 27. And besides, who by worrying can add a single hour to his life? What's the answer to that one? No one. It's a little harder. There's a two-word answer. No one. No one. In fact, to the contrary, evidence shows that too much stress or too much worry is actually harmful to the body. It causes headaches and it causes body aches and it causes upset stomach and it causes high blood pressure and it causes lack of sleep and fatigue. Excessive worry doesn't add to your life, it decreases it. But Jesus is saying, God has something better for you than worry and anxiety. God has a life that you don't need to worry about. God's going to take care of your daily bread because He loves you. It doesn't mean that we don't work for our food. It just means that we don't need to be in anxious toil about it because of who God is and how He loves us and cares for us. I was talking to a person in our congregation this week who has gone through a season of incredible financial lack, incredible financial need. And the person with tears in the eyes told me how God provided again and again. Just told me two or three stories of how God provided at just the right time for this particular family in our church to have food on the table, literally. And how that was an experience that grew faith and decreased worry. That person no longer is anxious about food, about provision. The good news from Jesus to His disciples is that they can quit worrying about these things in their lives. They don't have to be anxious about them. And then Jesus continues in verse 28. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you of little faith? What's the answer? Yes! God loves you, Jesus is saying. God cares for you more than He does the flowers of the field. So you don't have to live stressed out about the clothes that you're going to wear, anxious about whether you're fitting in or your friends will think they're cool or you'll look the part. Because God will take care of you. God, Jesus says, don't worry about them. And then in verse 32, He says, He gives two reasons why we shouldn't worry. In the first one, He says, for the pagans run after these things. And that's the verse that's the reason that I asked you the question earlier. What are you running for? What are you running for? Because Jesus says, the pagans are running after these things. The pagans, in other words, are people who are disconnected from God. People disconnected from God are the ones who are obsessed with these things. They're spending their life's energy pursuing these things, these earthly things. And this is what makes me believe that Jesus isn't just talking here about having enough food to survive or having a piece of clothing to keep from being exposed. I think Jesus is talking about the kind of running after that makes the kind of food we eat or the kind of clothes that we wear the most important. He made that the kind of running after makes the kind of cars we drive and the kind of money we make and the kind of housing we have and the kind of watches we wear. Jesus is talking about the kind of running after that makes all of that stuff the most important thing in life. It's the attitude that makes those things the objects of our pursuit or the focus of our attention or the meaning of our lives. The first reason Jesus gives in verse 32 that we don't need to worry about these things is that running after them isn't for people of God. Running after them of these things is a sign that we don't really know God, that we don't really understand who God is. The pagans run after them because they think that they're defined by them. But Jesus then gives a second reason. He says, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God is aware. What good news. God isn't just a God who started things off and then turned his back and disengaged. God is a God who knows what you need. And he cares about what you need. God knows us and loves us. He will give us what we need. So we don't need to worry. We don't need to run after those things. In fact, if we run after those things of this world, we will never rest. And that makes sense to us, because when we think about running, most of us don't think about resting. If we run after those things, we will never find rest. We will never be satisfied, because they can't satisfy us. So instead of running after those things, Jesus tells his disciples what they should be running after. Verse 33, he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So as people who know God, as people who've been saved by God's grace, disciples of Jesus are called to make their very first priority in life, not the acquisition of things. They're to make the first priority the kingdom and righteousness of God. In other words, the first priority is to submit all of life to the empowering presence and lordship of Jesus, to submit ourselves to his rule and his reign. That's the kingdom. Submitting to his rule and his reign. Submitting all of life to his empowering presence and lordship. That's the kingdom. And then to do what he tells them to do. That's the righteousness of God. The work of God. Dale Bruner says that God's kingdom is the goal of the Christian quest, and God's righteousness is the way to it. So instead of running after these earthly things that will never give you rest, disciples of Jesus should be running for righteousness, running to do the will of God, practicing and applying the gospel. We seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We submit all to his rule and reign, and we do the work that he calls us to do. And then all these other things will be given to us. God will provide for us. God will give us what we need. We will have rest. We run for righteousness, and we will have rest. The Message translation says it this way: steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. So, church, beloved of God, what is it that you are running for today? What is it that you're running after in your life? What is it that you're running away from? Are you running after physical things like food or clothes or money? Or are you running after intangible things like acceptance or reputation or legacy or power? God wants you to experience true soul rest. But he knows that when you focus your attention, when you make your first priority, when you run after the things of this earth, both material and immaterial, you will never rest. You will never be satisfied. You will never experience the joy of Christ that's able to look around and say, look at the birds and look at the field and just enjoy the presence of God and experience the rest of God. But when you believe in the Lord Jesus, the one and only Son of God who came from the Father, full of grace and truth, who took on flesh and made His dwelling among us, who came to give life, even life to the full, and who for that purpose of life, He gave His own life unto death so that we could be forgiven for our fruitless pursuits, so that we could be reconciled to God. When you believe in the Lord Jesus, the one who rose from the grave in forever victory over sin and death, the one who will reign and rule for all eternity, when you believe in Him and run for His righteousness, you don't have to live a life of worry anymore. You can have rest, church. Because as you steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions, all that you need will be given to you. We can trust that He will take care of us. He will give us rest. So what if this week, every morning, you prayed a prayer something like this: God, please forgive me for running after the things that will not satisfy me. Whatever it is for you, whatever the Holy Spirit has brought up in you that He's reminding you that you're running after these things, God, please forgive me for running after things that will not satisfy me, and empower me today by Your Spirit to run for righteousness, to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, to do Your will, to seek You first. And in that running to find my true rest. That's how you can let go of worrying about all these things that you are worrying about, and live resting in the provision of God. And one of the ways that we embody that prayer is we come to this table. We come to the table again and again. And by coming to this table, which is we call the Lord's table, and participating in this holy meal, we acknowledge before God and one another that we are prone to chase after the wrong things, and that our only hope in life and death is to belong to the living Lord Jesus Christ. He is our true rest. And as we come to this table in faith, in other words, as we come believing that Jesus is our true rest, the Holy Spirit actually uses this meal to minister His rest. This isn't just a ritual that we do to remember that Jesus died. It's more than that. We believe that God uses this meal to nourish our souls with His grace and with His truth, and with His rest. And so as we come to the table today in faith, may we, His people, find rest, true soul rest, available to us in Christ. Let's come to the table. Amen. Jesus is stronger. Stronger than whatever anxiety you face, stronger than whatever it is that you're worrying about, stronger than whatever it is that is beating you down in life right now. Jesus is stronger. I encourage you to go in that faith, and this week to run for righteousness. And know that as you run for righteousness, you will find rest in Christ. That's His promise to us today. It's His promise to us this week. May you go and live in that promise in this week ahead. I'd like to receive now this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His perfect peace today and every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, the prayer team is here. They'd love to pray with you. Please come forward and receive prayer if needed.